Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. We are now live on the air with our worship service. We have listeners around the world tuning in different time zones. Hopefully you all kept that straight. Feel free to invite your friends to listen now live. Also, this link will be good after live broadcast in perpetuity. You can share. We've come to the last chapter of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, we've taken quite a journey. I started this study because at the beginning, we had some Christian friends that were bamboozled into fear over some of these sensationalistic prophecy teachers that were misinterpreting and distorting the book of Revelation to scare people with doomsday predictions. At the time, there was John Hagee, who had this blood moons theory. He had everyone worked up that the end of the world was coming due to some blood moons, and of course it didn't happen. We had some friends that got very nutty and were bought tickets to Israel and felt like you needed to be in Israel to see the blood moon and go in the rapture a certain way, and were trying to get us to buy tickets to go with them. And unfortunately, a lot of these folks are falling for the new conspiracy theories with COVID. There's been so many conspiracy theories, and be aware, these people are just trying to make money. They're hucksters, they're con men, and they're now selling all these conspiracy videos and DVDs and saying that the vaccine is the mark of the beast and Bill Gates is the Antichrist. And fear and conspiracy theories are so dangerous, and it motivated me to teach the book of Revelation as it's properly written. The very first verse says it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So the whole point of the book is, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to know more of Jesus. I want to have a greater intimate closeness with the Lord and understand Jesus in his heart. I want to be a conduit of Jesus' love. I want his sunshine to smile, to go through my smile and eyes, and people would see your grace and love and healing power through me, and that I could make a difference in this world and share your good news. The purpose was to reveal Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. I'm going to read the very first verse of the book, because as we come to the last chapter today, the last chapter echoes the first chapter. There's a lot of riffing on the exact same themes. So to understand properly the last chapter, it's good to review a little bit of the first chapter. I'm going to read, first of all, this is the Living Bible, the very first verse. This book uncovers events in the life of Jesus Christ, that he could show his people the things that will soon happen. Let me read to you from the King James, the older King James that was the first Bible I cut my teeth on and memorized. Most of the scriptures I've memorized have been in the King James. Revelation 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, the revelation, the word for revelation there, we get our word, the Greek word is apokalypto, we get our word apocalypse. Unfortunately, the word apocalypse has come to mean the end of the world. But when this was written by the Apostle John from the Isle of Patmos, it did not mean the end of the world. Those doomsday date setters are out of line, false prophets. The word revelation was a word from the art world. It meant to unveil a great work of art. If you've ever seen like a statue where they take the cover off it and everyone oohs and ahs and says, oh, wasn't that a beautiful statue, a beautiful painting? It's an unveiling. It's a revealing the beauty, the glory, the majesty of Jesus Christ, his victory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the purpose of the book. Right now, there's a lot of conspiracy theories of people looking for this one's the Antichrist and that one's the Antichrist and 666, and that's not the purpose of the book. The purpose of this book is that you may draw closer to him. In fact, the end of the book, the very last verse, one secret to kind of get a feel for a book is if you read the first word or the first sentence of a book and then go to the end of the book, it's very interesting to do that with any book, to read the first and last word. Here's how Revelation ends. Chapter 22:21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I remember when I read that word grace in the Greek New Testament, charis, it just struck me what a beautiful name for our daughter, charis. It means grace. It means God's unmerited favor. Thank you, Jesus. praise you, Lord, for your grace. And I pray that for each and every one of you, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So we'll be back to dive into Revelation chapter 22. Be back in a few seconds. Get your Bibles. Tell your friends. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, Revelation chapter 22. By the way, if you're just joining us, you're coming to hear the end, the wrap-up, the last chapter of Revelation. We've been studying through it for some time, and it's more apropos than ever with all the conspiracy theories and misinterpretations of the book. But if you want to catch up and review and go through the entire book of Revelation, if you're a serious Bible student, please go to our website, eternalgracechurch.com. Eternalgracechurch.com. You can click on Revelation series. I believe there's a link there that says Revelation series. Let me go to our website just to make sure. And by the way, there's a link to give there if you're spiritually fed by our ministry with the lack of public gatherings. We've been really grateful, so grateful for those of you that continue to support with your love offerings. If you're new and you're just checking us out and you're a visitor today, please feel no obligation to give, of course. We're not heavy-handed. No one in this ministry lives high or begs for money. But we are supported by love offerings of those spiritually fed by our ministry. Unfortunately, we've had people that have been fed and changed and transformed that do remain faithful during this COVID time. So eternalgracechurch.com. Click on Revelation series. You'll scroll down. There's a heart that says Embrace Grace, a picture of a young woman that says Ways, and then it says the Book of Revelation. And then there'll be a series of links, chapter 1, you know, chapter 2, chapter 3, and you can go through Revelation with us. Today we're in chapter 22. I mentioned that the purpose of Revelation is to reveal Jesus Christ, that we may know him more, that we may love him more, that we may praise him more. And so let's start off with a little worship. I'm going to get out my guitar, my little Spanish guitar, and do some live worship. And you can close your eyes and listen, or you can sing along with me. I'm going to play guitar along with live worship pre-COVID when there were thousands of bodies packed together. And my dear friend Carl Tuttle and a great worship band, great singers, and I'll be playing here live, but also kind of tapping into some live worship from pre-COVID days. So this is a song that fits the verse Revelation 1:1. The theme of Revelation is that we may have a revelation of Jesus Christ, that we may know him and praise him and love him much more than we do. So close your eyes if you can, unless you're driving, and you can even sing along with us. Praise you much more than we do, Jesus.
I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. Learn to see your face and the knowledge. Much more than I do. Learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to praise. the sky, sing the song to you. The trees in the field, they lift their arms to you. I want to sing, I want to lift my arms to you.
He has shown me,
he has shown me. What the Lord requires of thee,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy
heart. Yes, Lord.
We want to know you more, Lord, much more than we do.
Have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Restore us to our first love, Lord. Sing that one more time with me. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to know much more than I do. Learn to seek your face. Learn to seek your face. The knowledge of your grace. I want to know you.
So we come to Revelation 22, the very last chapter. And let's talk about some important themes that we get into now. We notice that as we prepare to go into 22, let's look maybe at the end of 21, talking about the pearly gate. You've heard a lot of times they talk about when you die and you're at the pearly gate before St. Peter. Revelation 21, verse 22 and 21 there. Verse 21, the 12 gates had 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, in Scripture, Christ is referred to as the pearl of great price, that we, a man, it's worth giving up everything for that pearl. And now we read about the pearly gates and the street of gold. Gold in the Scripture is symbolic of the character of God. I wrote a song years ago for my best friend in high school, John Walker, after he was paralyzed in an accident and couldn't walk. And it said, please ignore a few defeats. You will walk on golden streets. And now the temple of God is described as the pearl, having gates of pearl and a street of gold. Now, yes, this is talking about heaven, but I want you to also realize there's a lot of application in the here and now. Because we are the temple, Corinthians says, the temple of God, you the church. The church is no longer a building made with hands and walls, the Scripture says. But you in the new covenant, you are that temple. So as the Scripture describes the temple and the different things in the temple and the glory of God in the temple, yes, heaven, but also it's not just future. You have the glory of God in you. You are a walking powerhouse. The great I Am lives in you. People have been moaning and groaning that churches are closed. Some of the pastors of particularly mega churches complain. Oh, the church can't meet. Church is closed. But the fact of the matter is that you are the church. You are the temple. Christ is in you. The church can't be closed. You can meet outside with the trees and the grass with some friends. You can talk on the phone in fellowship. You can listen to a broadcast like this. You are the church wherever you go. It'd be like if you asked me, where do you go to Richard Rossi? That's how ridiculous it is to ask, where do you go to church? Because you are the church 24/7. Now, in verse 23, it says that this city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. The glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. So we see three items of illumination: the sun,
the moon, and a lamp or the light of the Lamb. In the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle, and the outer court was open where you could see the sun and the moon. And then the holy place had a lamp. And the Bible talks here a lot about Jesus coming to the churches and saying, don't let your lamp have oil in your lamp. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy of Holies is the glory of God, the Shekinah, the presence of God. You have that. You are that temple. It's internal in you. You have that light in you. In this new covenant, it says there is no Jew or Greek or slave or free. We all have the indwelling Christ. 1 John 2:27 says, you need not any man to teach you. The same Spirit dwells in you and abides in you and shall lead you in all things. So I want you to understand that in this new covenant, it's no longer this external thing where once a year the priest makes atonement for sins. Christ has made atonement for all sins, past, present, and future. Some preachers beat up the sheep and always make them afraid of losing their salvation, and if you mess up, you've lost your salvation. No, the Bible says that when you come into this new covenant, you're a part of the temple, and he dwells in you, the Lamb, the light. You don't have to wait to heaven to have this connection, this fellowship. So beware of those that try to put somebody external over you, because in this new covenant, internally within you is the Holy Spirit. There's a judge being nominated for the Supreme Court right now, and she seems like a nice Catholic woman, but she's been a part of this cult called the People of Praise, where they teach that you have to have somebody over you, a man to tell you what to do, a shepherd. You know, this went on in the 70s in the Charismatic Church. It was called the Shepherding Movement, where you had to have somebody over you to tell you what to do. But now the Lamb dwells in you as the temple. You have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can get counsel, but you know in your heart how God is guiding you. And it's interesting, as we come to the end of the Bible starts in a garden, in the Garden of Eden, and now it ends with this beautiful garden. But one of the differences between this garden at the end in Revelation and the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Eden there were no walls, and the serpent came in, and it says he seduced Eve, and she took the forbidden fruit and then offered it to Adam. But here it says in chapter 21 and verse 16 that there was these walls. It describes them as 1,500 feet high. In verse 16, it says, the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth. He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And that number of furlongs is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. I misspoke and said feet earlier. So this is showing us there's walls and protection. We are kept by the power of God, no matter what's going on in the world. 1 Peter 1:5 says, you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. 1 John 5:18 says the same. It says, God protects his child, and the wicked one touches him not. God personally is keeping you. You are eternally secure in his everlasting arms. Jesus is the great shepherd, and he's personally responsible to keep you as his lamb. He says in John 10, verses 27 through 30, that you're in his hand, and no one can pluck you out of his hand. These walls around this city at the end are a reminder, a symbol in the Bible of protection. It does acknowledge, yes, there is the beast, yes, there is the great whore, but you are safely in the Lord's protection of these walls. They're walls of safety. Now, it also says there's a foundation, and we're preparing for the last chapter 22. I'm just kind of pointing out a few last-minute things in chapter 21 before we go into 22. But it says there's a foundation of the city. Let's read what it is in Revelation 21:14. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So in this scripture, in verse 12, it talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, and then now in this verse 14, the 12 apostles. This is showing the whole people of God through all time, because you have the 12 tribes representing the Old Testament people of God, the 12 apostles representing the New Covenant. So all the people, we're all together. There's no us in them. There's no, this race is better and more loved by God than this race, or this church is superior to this church. No, it says that from every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, the scripture says. And the 12 apostles are the foundation. This is what we read in Acts. It says that the apostles' teaching was a foundation. And there's a lot of people that are straying from that foundation today. There's a church up in Northern California. They chase God as a drug, and they did a fake miracle, which my film Canaan Land riffs on, where they got gold glitter from the craft store and feathers, and they put it in the HVAC system. And I said, oh, this is the gold dust from the golden street of heaven. You know, from the Revelation 21 talks about the golden street and the pearly gate, and these feathers are the angel's feathers that we read in Revelation coming down, and people fell for this. People are very gullible today. So they strayed from the apostles' teaching, seeking these miracles. And Jesus says, a wicked generation seeks after a sign. The Bible says signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. So signs shall follow us, but we're not supposed to follow after signs. But because they followed after signs, they've been just reckless. And once you get into a cult like that, your critical thinking skills go down. So they've been listening to lots of very unwise advice. And this church has been going up and down California and in other states holding massive worship services without any masks. They said, we don't have to listen to science because God protects us, and we have healing, such a healing anointing on this church. No one will get coronavirus. No one will get sick. Well, the news just broke today that this ministry is so infected with coronavirus from all these large maskless worship services that they are now having to shut down their school. And so all these and they conned all these young people into paying $5,000 a year, thinking they'll go there and learn how to do miracles. But if they had such healing power and such miracle-making power, then their claims that they would have stopped the virus and no one would get the virus, they would be able to make that virus go away in 5 seconds if they had this special place with God, this elite place of doing all these healings that they claim. But, you know, I've talked to people who have left this ministry. They said, I never saw one healing. I never once saw a lame person walk or a blind person like Stevie Wonder see or a deaf person hear. It was all hokey stunts like weird leg lengthening stunts that a chiropractor would do or a carnival barker would do. And now thousands of these young people having to leave, pack up, and just study their online miracle courses. And we see even our own president, and pray for him and Melania, they have COVID now. But in the debate Tuesday night, he was mentally unhinged and unsound. I was very concerned for him because he just kept interrupting Biden, and he was bragging and mocking Biden for wearing a mask. And he said that Biden wears a big mask and stands so far away from everyone. And I hold all these big rallies, and we've had no bad repercussions. And then here he is now in the hospital. Lift him up in prayer, and perhaps this will humble him, and pray for healing and restoration for Donald Trump and his wife Melania, as well as several in his inner circle who have got it because they were all in proximity to each other. I think Kellyanne Conway might have got it, his former spokesperson, Heather Hicks, who's an aide and I believe a spokesperson, another gentleman who's a spokesperson. I mean, it's just the same thing's happening at Bethel, you see. So it's really important who you follow. And we are like sheep without a shepherd sometimes, and we'll follow charismatic people like a Donald Trump or like this church in California. But it's really important that you follow Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and don't make an idol out of any man, and don't follow any man, because they'll lead you in the ditch. And the point of Revelation is that the foundation of the church, it says, is the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Stay in the teaching of the apostles found in the scriptures and rightly divide the word of truth. And as we go through Revelation, we have always taken the symbols in Revelation and then found those same symbols in the Old Testament and figured out what they meant in the Bible, interpreting the Bible by the Bible, not going into the headlines and saying, oh, the Trump of God in Thessalonians 4 is Donald Trump, like some of these crazy Christians are saying, or saying, oh, this scripture is Obama or this scripture is Biden. No, we take it in context. And that's what's known in seminary as the science of hermeneutics, where you ask, who is this written to? Who's the primary audience? What did it mean at that time? Who was it talking to? What is the context? The context that determines the content and the interpretation. So when we read about pearls all over the city, and we know from the Gospels that Christ is known as the pearl of great price, thank you, Jesus. We know it's just reaffirming to us that the gate of pearl means there's one gate, and it's that pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes in to this gate but by the pearl of great price, Jesus Christ. And that's why Revelation 1:1 says this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's through Christ. It's through the cross. And it also says here that the gates were connected to the city. The pearly gate, Jesus, is connected to the city. And the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem, is referred to as a holy city. He's connected to us. We're connected to Christ. We're in Christ. And we present that gate. We present that cross. It says in Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. We work together with the Lord to share the good news. God doesn't drop a PA system and a heavenly mic out of the clouds, and you don't hear a loud voice say, this is the good news from the Almighty God. Receive my Son, Jesus Christ. No. How shall they hear without a preacher, Romans 10 says? And how shall they know the good news if someone's not sent? So we, the church, have got to show the love of Jesus Christ. We're in a time here in America that's so polarized, where the Republicans, so many of them are unhinged, hating the Democrats, and so many of the extreme Democrats are hating the Republicans. And I wrote a song, America, that says, don't forget we all are one. Don't let your hatred of the other side block the sun. America, you're split into two extremes. I want to heal you of your broken dreams. Because in heaven, everyone is together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. All kindreds, all tribes, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Maybe at the marriage supper of the Lamb in the seating chart, the Lord will put people beside each other that were enemies or had strife in real life to show the fullness of his reconciliation. Maybe Biden and Trump will sit by each other at that table. And Biden showed some class the other day praying for Trump and taking off all negative critical ads of Trump. I was glad to see that. Because this revelation is about reconciliation. In Revelation 22:12, the tribes, the 12 tribes are there. And in Revelation 22:13 and 14, the 12 apostles are there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're filled with your divine nature. We have that golden streak running through us. The gold is the divine nature. We have his life and light in us. 1 John 3:9 says, God has given to us his life. The word Greek there, it says his seed remains in us. The Greek word for seed is sperma. His very life, his very light. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under the bushel. He's in you, his light, his life. Philippians 2:13 says he works in you to do his will, to desire the good pleasure of his will. Sometimes you have a burning passion to do something, a burning interest to do something. That's him working in you. Because what you like to do is usually what he wants you to do, because he's working in you, and the desires of your heart delight in him, Psalm 37:4, and it becomes the desires of your heart. So this temple is, yes, heaven, but it's also describing this amazing relationship in the new covenant that he lives in us. Philippians 4:18 says you can do all things how? Through Christ who strengthens in you. Through Christ who strengthens you. And when we read about the gold, which in Scripture represents the divine nature, we can be reminded that 2 Peter 1:4 says, through Christ and faith, we are partakers of the divine nature. You know, Jesus prayed alone in John 17, a very long prayer for you and me. He said, I pray for those that will believe in me through the testimony of my disciples, which is you and I. And he says, Lord, share the glory that you and I shared, Father, before the foundation of the world. Let it be in them. Let them share in that glory. And we share in his glory, by his grace. We are that shining city set on a hill. It's not just future. It's already begun. It says in Revelation 21:24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor to it. Isn't that amazing? Kings of the earth. We read about the Queen of Sheba in the book of Kings, chapter 10, that she came to Solomon and was just amazed at his wisdom. Now, we are often asked about some of the end-time sensationalistic scenarios that we are taught and told about. I was taught in Bible college a view of Revelation that went something like this. Okay, there's going to be this kind of beam-me-up Scotty thing. And that's a quote from Star Trek for you Trekkies. And I understand the appeal of the escapism of that, because a lot of us, you know, have probably had moments lately where we feel enough is enough, enough COVID, enough having to wear masks, enough of polarized politics, and enough of people dying, and enough of this world and the stress and strain of adulting and having to do all the things we have to do. And so beam me up, Scotty, and just let me escape is very appealing. But the book of Revelation said that's not to be our focus. It talks about the people of God being on white horses with swords coming out of our mouths, slaying the nations. Now, the fundamentalist views I was taught was that that's a battle after the tribulation, and then the Christians come back on white horses and kill everybody that's not a believer, and the blood is as high as the horses and all that. No, they're misunderstanding the symbolism, as I said before. Slaying the nations is talking about sharing the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. The sword represents the word of God, not a literal sword. And if you go back to Revelation 1, it says there's a long sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. When you meet Jesus, he's not going to have a 10-foot sword coming out of his mouth. Of course not. No, Hebrews says the word of God is a sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing between the heart and the intent. And so as we go forward, yes, we want to escape, but we have a job to do to shine our light. Now, in the Old Covenant, this was often focused on a nation, the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel was important because they were the womb of the Messiah. Jesus came through that lineage. Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. Leah gave birth to Judah. Christ came through the lineage of the tribe of Judah. He was a lion from the tribe of Judah, and then through David, et cetera, et cetera. Luke chapter 1 gives those genealogies, and I believe Matthew 1 also goes into the genealogies. So this is a nation that Christ came through, and it's important. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians have not had a revelation of how this new covenant is not centered in just one nation, that it's everyone now. And it says in the New Testament, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't show partiality. And it says in Romans 2:28-29, a true Jew is not just one who is born to that nation, but it says it's not a physical circumcision. Romans 2:28-29, if you read that verse, it says, a true Jew is now one who has been born again and circumcised in the heart, and there is now neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free. So it's not Israel by blood, but by the blood of the Lamb. So all of us, those of us that have some of that ethnic background and those of us that don't, we're all united. Every tongue shall confess. Philippians 2:9-11 says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Revelation 7:9 says, all kindred, tribes, and tongues will come into this kingdom, all together, all the people of God, as the new Jerusalem. So as we come into chapter 22, the Bible ends with the garden, echoing the Garden of Eden, but now we're in the Garden of God. The garden is a symbol a lot of times of tranquility, of peace, and that's what we need in this world right now with everything going on. Philippians says, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, and it's a peace of God, it says, that transcends all understanding. It will guard your heart and mind. He talks about still waters, green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There's that imagery of the garden again and again through the Bible. Ezekiel 34 talks about the sheep are sleeping peacefully in the forest, and they're in the forest, and no one's harming those lambs. And it also talks about a river of life here in chapter 22:1. Now, the same author, John, who wrote this, wrote John 7:37 that talks about a river of life coming out of us. And it, you can see that echo of the river. And Ezekiel 48 talks about the river flowing out of the temple. 22:1, let me read it. And he showed a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. A throne is a symbol in the Bible, obviously, of ruling and reigning. King Solomon had a powerful, powerful throne. And, you know, isn't it wonderful to know that no matter who's elected, he is on the throne? Isn't it wonderful to know that we're not beholden just to the earthly kingdom? Jesus, when he was brought before Pilate, he gives this really cool answer when Pilate says, are you a king? They're saying you're a king and trying to take over. And Jesus gives that really cool answer, and he says, no, my kingdom is not of this world. Let me read to you from the Living Bible, 22:1. He showed a river, a pure water of life, clear as crystal, It was flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. The river ran down the center of the main street. Wow. On each side of the river grew the tree of life. It had 12 crops of fruit, a fresh crop each month. The leaves of the tree were used for medicine to heal the nations. So this is a place of healing. And this is a place of that river of life. Let's flip over to John 7:37, since the same writer describes what the river of life is there. When you want to really understand Revelation, look up the symbols he uses either in the Old Testament or in John's other writings. And so the end of the Revelation talks about this river of life. Let's flip over to John 7:37, where he uses the exact same phrase. He says, on the day of the last feast, Jesus stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So it's a baptism, a empowering, an immersion in the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When Christ ascended, the Spirit descended. And as we open our lives to more of the Holy Spirit, it brings healing. It talks in verse 2 about a tree of life, and Jesus is that tree of life, that bread of life. And it says, eating from this tree brings healing. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. If you eat of me, my flesh, and drink of my blood, you will be sustained, you will be healed, you will have eternal life. Isn't this beautiful how we come to the end and we see the rule and reign of him and all the nations a part of it? This is what we're to pray for right now. Psalm 2, he tells us to pray, and he says, ask of me, and I will give you the ends of the earth for your possessions. Now, the church he was writing to, as you know, they were persecuted. There were false prophets. He uses the great whore metaphor. A whore sells her body out for money. And even back then, there were people selling the body out for money. There's people out there, televangelists today, that have gone on TV and said, if you send me $1,000, you'll get your healing. And it's always been that way. Before the Reformation, there was people selling indulgences and saying, if you give me this much money, it'll get your deceased loved ones out of purgatory. But Jesus kept saying to those seven churches, behold, I come quickly. It is finished on the cross. It's overdone. It's like if you bought a house and all you have to do is go in that house now and take that house. He keeps saying, I come quickly. I come soon. And in light of the finished work of Christ, it is soon. But the most popular selling books and theories on the YouTube and on the internet are the doomsday date setters that want to tell you the exact date, that want to tell you who the Antichrist is, because we have this curiosity to know that. But that's not what the scripture actually says that rebukes those here. In this, and it says, if anyone adds into this prophecy things that are not written in it, let me read to you from verse 22, verse 18 and 19. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues written in the book. If any man takes away from these words, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now, when you delve into what this is warning us, it's about people that would use this book to add in theories and dates and different things to scare people and to manipulate the scriptures into saying things they don't really say. And almost all the popular books, there's a guy, Jonathan Cahn, I call him Jonathan Cahn Man, because he is another one that puts out all these theories and dates. He uses saying he's a rabbi, and he'll say certain Jewish terms to try to add credence to his date setting. But it's the same old game of making dates and saying things the Bible doesn't really say, and people are fooled by it. And when you get into chapter 22, all these beautiful symbols that are very emotional and symbolic, and you bask in these images of the garden, the river of life, the street of gold, the pearly gates. And we see that a lot of these are talking about a new earth and talking about a renewal of the earth. Everything is going to be resurrected and renewed. Our bodies are renewed to glorified bodies. My father passed age 74. But he now has a new body. He looks like he did on his wedding day to my mother in 1961 at Sacred Heart Church in Emsworth. He has a new body. This earth will be renewed. Part of it is us renewing the earth, sharing the gospel, but also God will renew this earth and this environment because man has sinned against the earth. We are supposed to be stewards of the earth, but we've been greedy. And we've done so many things, like Three Mile Island in my home state of Pennsylvania. They released this nuclear energy, and it infected all the animals, and people got cancer and all these things. We've done so many things to destroy nature. But this redemption in Romans 8 says he's going to redeem all of creation. If you have a pet that you've lost, it's sad when you love a dog or a cat and they die. It says even the creation is groaning, awaiting the redemption of all creation. Even the cosmos is the Greek word, the world and the inhabitants and the creatures of the world. So there's this healing coming that we read about in this last chapter, and we live in the glorious presence of God. Isn't that beautiful? It says in verse 4, we'll see his face and his name shall be in our foreheads. There's this symbol about the foreheads. There's the mark of the beast on the forehead, 666. But then it says that the elect of God have his name or his seal in their foreheads. And Ephesians says when you accepted Christ, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of redemption. The word is translated earnest, like earnest money on a house. When you put down a deposit of earnest money, it guarantees you'll pay the rest. What that is saying is you have a guarantee of the Spirit in you that God will fulfill all his promise to save you and redeem you and take you to heaven one day. And also, it's a sealing like a letter is another way that word is used. In Rome at that time, they would seal a letter with the Roman seal, and if anyone opened that seal or broke that seal and stopped that letter from getting to its destination, they could be punishable by death. In other words, God is going to get you to your destiny. Yes, there's persecution in the world. Yes, sometimes we just want to beam me up, Scotty, and escape. And yes, it's crazy out there. But you know what? You're sealed by the Spirit. You're protected and sealed, even eternally secure and protected by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now, this chapter, there's a lot of echoes of some of the same themes, and I'll go through them really quickly. One is that many of these things would shortly take place. It says that in Revelation 1:1 and 22:6. Most of the modern books ignore this phrase, that a lot of it was shortly taking place, and they'll say, oh, well, 1,000 years is a day to the Lord, and that's true. But God is not writing to the Lord, to himself. He's writing to us. He's not trying to confuse us. And the fact of the matter is a lot of these things were shortly taking place to the seven churches he wrote to. Nero, the Roman emperor, was called the beast, and his name's transliterated as 666. And he was forcing people to bow down to him and to take his mark. And when the scriptures prophesied the temple would be destroyed, Jesus said not one stone would be left. It would just destroy and decimate the temple. That all happened shortly after this was written. In 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the Jewish temple. And also he talks about in Daniel and other prophecies an abomination of desolation where someone would set themselves up in the altar of God. This already happened a couple times back in these days. A man named Antiochus Epiphanes set himself up to be worshipped in the temple. So a lot of the people that are trying to scare you that Bill Gates is the Antichrist and all this bad stuff's going to come and don't take the vaccine or you'll be turned into a robot by the Antichrist and all the crazy stuff that Christians are sharing. Don't give in to fear. Don't listen to a lot of this nonsense. Now the big conspiracy theory is something known as QAnon. QAnon. There's a pornographer who is a pig farmer. And he started all these porn sites, even child porn sites. He made all this money. And he wanted to see how dumb Americans were. It was doing it out of Asia. And he started this theory, QAnon, which is saying that the Democrats, Biden, Kamala Harris, and Hollywood actors, that they're all Satanists and that they're part of the Antichrist satanic church and that they're kidnapping all these children and raping them and drinking their blood in a devil worship ritual. And it's so crazy. And you think, well, who would believe that? Millions are believing it. Millions of evangelicals. If you're on my Facebook page, you can look under a video I just did about Trump and the election and praying for Trump and everything, and they're posting it all on my thread. Many people believe this. Many good Christian people believe this. Why? They've been primed to believe it by their misinterpretation of Revelation. They ignore these scriptures that say most of this would shortly come to pass to those he was writing to, and so they think it's all right now. And so they're looking for the satanic church and satanic leaders now, and they're focused on the Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ. And there's a blessing if we interpret this scripture accurately and don't add to it. He said, don't add to this revelation your own dates, your own theories, your own crazy things into it. Don't add to it. He warns so strongly. And that was also said in other prophecies and other prophetic books, like Jeremiah said the exact same phrase, don't add to my prophecy and misinterpret it and put in all your weird interpretations. Again, apocalypto means to reveal Jesus. It's not to predict the end of the world and reveal the Antichrist and the beast and sensationalism. It's to let us know he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I love here how it calls him the Alpha and Omega. Now, if your Bible is a red letter edition, it may or may not, I don't know. But if you, like me, have a red letter edition Bible, the red letters mean that it's Jesus speaking. So in this last chapter, it goes back and forth between John speaking and an angel speaking and different speakers. But when you read the red letters of what Jesus says here, it's really quite powerful. Like verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. Every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isn't that beautiful? See, he is the Alpha and Omega, which is the Hebrew letters, like A to Z. It'd be like saying, I'm A to Z. In other words, you're not keeping yourself safe. You're not keeping yourself safe. You're not the one that will guarantee your salvation. He is the author and finisher of your faith. He will complete the good work he began in you, Philippians 1:6 says. You can rest in him. His kingdom will come, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are a part of this holy city, and you change the world as you go with your sword and share the word and the good news. And when you touch people with his love, and those people change, they help change the world. They help expand the kingdom and reign of Jesus Christ. It's not just in heaven. It's not just in the future. Every time we share his love, we expand the kingdom. When our daughter Karis was little and we were in Denny's and she was over, she would drink these little creamer milk things out of the dish that she liked. She went to a table and was drinking. Then she'd start talking to a guy and his family and telling them about Jesus. And I thought, well, what's going on over that table? It's about, 20 feet away. Why is she talking to that guy so long? And I walked over and he told me that Karis was trying to get him to accept Jesus. And the man told me very respectfully, I'm an atheist, but you have a really cute daughter. But because Karis opened up his heart, he was willing to meet with me for lunch. And we met for several lunches, and he heard my presentation of the gospel. He rejected that presentation, and he had some very intelligent arguments against Christianity. He was a very bright man. He'd read all the apologetics of Josh McDowell and C.S. Lewis, and he didn't feel their arguments were compelling him to become a Christian. And he worked at Fox in editing programs, and he invited me over there. And when I was there, I heard the Holy Spirit say, lay your hands on him and pray for my Holy Spirit to touch him and for my kingdom to come and for my reign to come in his life. And I did that. I asked him, I said, would it be okay if I laid hands and prayed on you? He said, well, I did agree, Richard, that you would take your best shot to try to convert me. So if you want to try that one last thing. And I put my hand on Bob's shoulder, and I said, Lord, I have not been able to convince Bob by my apologetics or my reasoning to believe in you. But I pray right now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in his life, and I invite you, Jesus, Son of God, to come personally and touch him with your love and let him feel your love and power right now. And he started to weep and cry in that editing suite there at Fox News, crying and crying and crying. And some of the people at the glass could see into the editing suite, and they were concerned, what's that guy doing to Bob? Because it was soundproof. All they could see was my hand on Bob and Bob crying and shaking. And I said, Bob said, heck with them. I've never felt anything this good in my life. And he came to the Lord. He was accepted the Lord. His wife accepted the Lord. His son accepted the Lord. And that's an example that we don't have to wait to die in the sweet by and by. We are here to bring about expanding his kingdom now. So when it says here to keep this prophecy, what does it mean when he says, keep this prophecy, don't add to it? If you say that guy keeps his word, what does it mean? It means he does it, right? When I was in Bible school, I remember the first time that we were involved in delivering somebody from demonic possession. and started getting involved in healing, and the fellowship group that we started there started to experience the Holy Spirit and miracles. And I went back to my class at the Bible school where they were talking about all this stuff, and they said, oh, well, miracles and deliverance and signs and wonders and all these things happened back in Jesus' day, but now that we have the Bible, they don't happen anymore. And I was sitting there, and I thought to myself, you know, a lot of these seminarians are like guys that study books on fishing, but they never fish. Or they sing songs about fishing, but they never fish. And so when it says to keep the prophecy, to keep the word, it's saying do it. Be a practitioner. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. It's not just about information. I knew guys that could teach from Genesis to Revelation, the flawless Bible teaching. They had so much information, but they didn't have the transformation. They had the head knowledge, but not the heart knowledge. And he says in the Gospels, whoever hears my word and keeps that word is like a man who builds his house on a foundation. And the floods and the rains and the rivers and the hurricanes come, but that house stands on the rock. And he said, but others hear the word, but they don't do the word or keep the word, and their house falls apart and is destroyed. So it's not just reading Revelation. It's not just getting a degree in the Bible. It's not just being able to quote scripture. It's about keeping this prophecy. It says over and over, blessed is the one. It says it in chapter 1, but it also says it here. Blessed is the one who keeps this prophecy. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. Hear and keep this prophecy. It says that in this chapter and also in chapter 1. You are a part of this beautiful city. You are a part of his reign. Do you know you're seated in heavenly places already? Ephesians 2:6 says that. You reign in Christ in heavenly places now. That's why we have to keep all this. Revelation 22:9. See thou, it says, keep the sayings of this book and worship God. And chapter 1 says, blessed is the one who reads and hears this prophecy. Yes, it'd be nice to beam me up, Scotty, and escape in the rapture. But let's focus more on keeping this prophecy and shining our lights and not hiding them under a bushel. This is the summary. If you've been with me through this whole book, you might recall that this was written to seven actual churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. They had all kind of problems in these churches, false prophecies, false teachers. You had a Laodicean church, which was like the mega churches today. They were rich and increased with goods. I know people, these churches that today, they say we're increased with goods. We have a program for everything. They have thousands of people, millions of dollars. But you don't feel the Holy Spirit in many of these churches. It's like a business. It's like a gospel enterprise. And so he tells these churches over and over, don't lose your first love. There was a small church, Philadelphia, which was one of the only ones he commended and said, you have kept my word, you have a little faith. So it's not about the church growth necessarily. The church health is what Jesus is more concerned about in chapter 2 and 3. Because to five of the seven churches, he said to repent. The Greek word is metanoia, which is a change of mind that changes your life. In my film, Canaanland, Brother Billy, the con man preacher who sells the fake gold dust miracles, repents. And he repents by giving the money and the offerings back to the people because he collected offerings under false pretense and false miracles. You don't see that happen too much, do you? Televangelists giving all the money back. Repentance is a change of mind. And that's what this book is about. It's about being so open to a revelation, a new understanding of Jesus, that our whole thinking process has changed. Now, what about the second coming? Everyone always asks that. Yes, there will be that second coming. Yes, there will be that. Christ will come again. But one thing that most people miss is the same phrase is also referred to as his coming into these different churches and the Holy Spirit coming in a way that they have a transformative experience with him. For example, I mentioned the church of Laodicea. that was like the mega church. They were increased with goods. And he said, you're blind, you're wretched, you're naked. And he said, I'm outside of the church knocking. I felt that way many ways. Many times I've tried to help churches. And I try to come in, you try to bring the Holy Spirit and help the worship and the service to be Spirit-led. But they have everything planned out on an exact timetable. Okay, we'll sing three songs from 11 to 11:15. And then 11:16, we have 5 minutes of announcements. And then 11:20, the preacher preaches this. And the Holy Spirit, there's no room for the Spirit. Everything is so planned out and cerebral. And Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Now, we use that verse in salvation to tell people to ask Christ in their heart, and that's, of course, a valid use. But the context is Jesus saying, I want to come to you again. So is Jesus coming again? Yes, but you know what? He's already here. He's standing at the door knocking. He wants to come to you in a fresh way. He said to every one of those churches, I will come to you. Have your lampstick burning. When I come to you, make sure you still have your candlestick. So there's a primary application of these seven churches that the coming of Jesus was him coming to all these different churches. So don't just focus on the future second coming. What about inviting his Spirit to come to us now? What about inviting him to come in a fresh way? If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will come and heal their land. Yes, these poor churches had many prophets. We have many false prophets, false teachers today. We have many people using this book to spread sensationalism and focus on 666 and the beast and doomsday date setting. They're adding to Revelation. They're breaking all rules of hermeneutics and interpretation. They're crazy and they're careless. They ignore the context, the culture, the language of who it's written to. They ignore what the symbols in Revelation mean in the Old Testament and in John's other writings, and they just want to come up with crazy theories. It's better to be humble and say, I don't know totally what all these symbols mean, than to look into the newspaper and come up with all these crazy theories. Preachers now saying Bill Gates is the Antichrist. And if you listen to the doctors and wear a mask or take the vaccine, you're being controlled by the Antichrist. Isn't this terrible? People, this is an urgent time. Our own president and his wife have COVID. This is a time that you need to make sure the information you're getting is sound. The president had so many rallies sandwiching people in without masks and said, don't worry, everything's fine. And now not only them, but many people in his inner circles have it. So this is a time to stay intimate and close with Jesus, to rightly divide the word of God, to watch out for sensationalistic theories that they're just trying to sell to make money. You know, isn't it sad? The best-selling books in the Christian bookstore, they're not books on prayer. They're not books on how to have a deep revelation of Jesus Christ or intimacy with Jesus Christ. No. The biggest-selling books and theories and DVDs and films right now in the Christian world, 666, Bill Gates is the Antichrist, the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast, Joe Biden and Tom Hanks are devil worshipers and they're going to take over the world and drink the blood of babies. Lord, help us. Lord God, help us. Lord, help us be sound of mind. Lord, help us be rightly dividing the word of truth. This revelation ends with a beautiful benediction telling us, in verse 20 and 21, he which testifieth to these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Isn't that beautiful? Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. So, Lord, I want to pray. Pray with me, and then we'll go into a little bit more worship, and then we'll open up the phones for a bit. Lord, help us to follow this scripture of Revelation, which instructs us to shine our lights, to not hide it under a bushel, to be people of love and shine the light and love of Jesus Christ. Help us to be closer to you, to have a revelation of you, to return to our first love for you. Help us to be a part of expanding your kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us share your love and shine our lights, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Thank you for coming to us, Lord. Thank you. Come, Jesus. We ask for a second coming, for another coming into our lives. We pray and lift up those that are sick or near death with COVID, including our president and first lady and others in his administration who are sick. And we pray even for the outbreak in the church I mentioned in California. Yes, they've been a foolish church, an apostate church, sharing hoax miracles and all that. But we pray for the outbreak of all those people that are sincere and were drawn to that church because of the music with sincere hearts to worship you. We pray for many of these people, even that have been careless and irresponsible, that somehow they would know your love and your support and your grace, because we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all get off track. And I want to also lift up this coming American election, Lord. I pray your will be done, and that you would have the president. It says in Psalms that you put up one, to put down one and put up another, and that promotion comes not from the east or west, but from the Lord. So I pray that you would install the president that would bring calm rather than chaos, because we've been through a trauma, Lord. I pray that you would put in the president that would bring peace, not polarization. I pray that you would put in the president that would have a pastoral spirit, not name-calling, division, but someone that would truly help heal our land. I thank you that you love us and help us to walk in that love for others, that accepts others even when they're different from us. Thank you for this journey through the book of Revelation. We love you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. Revelation 1 says that he was high and lifted up, and his hair was white as snow, and his eyes a flame of fire. You can hide in him. He is our hiding place. He is the one that keeps us safe. Psalm 32 says that we can tear down strongholds, and that he is our stronghold. He is our hiding place. He is the one that Psalm 91 says covers us in the shadow of his wings, the shadow of the Almighty. And it says, though the plague and pestilence be around us, and 10,000 fall at your right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. Millie, go back to some worship for a little bit. Close your eyes. You can sing along as well if you want. He is our hiding place, isn't he? You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are our hiding place. You are our hiding place, Lord. You always fill our hearts with songs of deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Let everyone listening feel your power, feel your love. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come minister to those that have been troubled, those that are feeling anxiety, Lord, those that are upset, Lord, because of what they heard, the news, the shaking our country about the president. Come bring your hope to those that are most afraid, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Be our hiding place, Lord. Be our hiding place, Lord. Be our hiding place, Lord. I praise you.
Glorify.
In all the earth. I love you. I praise. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. A revelation of Jesus Christ. He is coming as the Son of Man with a garment down to the foot and a golden girdle. His head and hair as white as snow. His eyes a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass burned in the forest. His voice is the sound of many waters. Blessed is the one who keeps this revelation of Jesus Christ and does not add to its words. He shall overcome. Grace of Jesus be unto you all.
I see the Lord.
I see
the Lord. I see the Lord.
Train fills the temple. Sing with us. He is high and lifted up. And his train fills the temple.
The angels cry.
And the angels cry, holy.
The angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy.
I see the Lord.
Hair as white as snow.
His hair is white as snow.
And his eyes a flame of fire.
His eyes a flame of fire. And his hair is white as snow.
Eyes a flame of fire.
Eyes a flame of fire.
Angels cry, holy.
Angels cry, holy. Angels cry, holy is the Lord.
Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. We'll be right back to welcome you, if you'd like to call in, on our phone lines. The number is 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379, or you can send questions and messages into our email at richardrossilive@gmail.com, richardrossilive@gmail.com. The book of Revelation, chapter 22. And again, I really invite you to go through the whole book with us. And all you have to do, and if you have any problem, contact our ministry, is to go to eternalgracechurch.com and click Revelation series and scroll down. You can listen to me go through the entire book. It'll be a little bit different than what you might have heard in some of the popular books, because my method of interpretation follows the rule of hermeneutics, which is a fancy $1,000 seminary word. It simply means to interpret it in its proper context and to look at the symbols in Revelation and to see where in the Bible that those symbols were used before. Because John was writing from the Isle of Patmos, he was essentially incarcerated there. The other apostles were martyred, but he lived to a ripe old age. But he wrote to the churches, those seven churches in chapter 2 and 3, and he used a lot of coded symbols. Because, as you know, someone incarcerated, the guards read their mail, they can't, you know, they have to hide things somewhat. So he used a lot of symbols in Revelation, writing to these seven churches, but they knew, these Jewish believers knew what those symbols meant in the Bible. So we go to the Bible and find the symbols and see what they meant, and then we also go to John's other writings, because John was quite prolific. He also wrote the Gospel of John, as well as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And you know, we warn against people that add to the Revelation. It's the last chapter says don't add to this and add all these other theories and things into it, and or God will add the plagues unto you. And God's pretty strong in warning you, don't just misuse this book. And so there's a lot of people out there spreading a lot of crazy theories, and people are pretty dumb and they fall for them. But stay rooted in the Scripture. Revelation 21 and 22 says the foundation of the New Jerusalem and the Bride of Christ is the 12 apostles of the Lamb, or the 12 stones of the new city. So in other words, the apostles' teachings in the Scriptures, if you follow them and study them, rightly dividing them, you'll be solid. You'll be rock solid. You won't be swayed, and you'll discern a lot of the craziness, and you won't fall for it. But the problem is a lot of people aren't biblically literate today. Did you know, like, less than 5% of Christians have actually read the whole Bible? Isn't that astounding to think about? Now, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not trying to act holier than thou or self-righteous, like, oh, I'm better because I've read the Bible. But I have read the Bible cover to cover many times, and I've memorized most of the Bible. But that doesn't make me any better if I don't live it, if I don't have it in my heart. I know a lot of guys in seminary that could teach circles around anybody on the Bible, but they didn't have it in their heart. And I know other people that haven't read the Bible or don't know the Bible as well as me, and they're very Christ-like people. So I'm not trying to be proud and put anybody down that hasn't read it as much as me, but I'm just making a point that a lot of Christians do not read and study their Bibles, and therefore they're easy prey for a lot of these false prophecies and false teachers that misuse this book. So thank all of you, if any of you that made the journey, I know some of you have made the journey through the entire book with me. God bless you for your patience. I know it took me quite a while, and sometimes I took a break from it. And sometimes I didn't do church in the frequency that we're used to. We've been doing it like every couple weeks. But sometimes I just didn't feel I had enough of a handle on the next chapter, and I had to study further because I wanted to make sure what I was putting out was as best as I could do and as sound as I could do it. And sometimes it took me a little longer to even study. So I didn't feel adequate. I take it very seriously to teach the Bible, and I want to make sure I teach it as best I do. Do I know it all? Do I understand it all? No. I'm a work in progress, and I'm learning. I'm open to more and more levels of revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, we have some people here. Jeff, who you've heard on the show before, is on line one. Jeff has been a deacon in our church from day one, just about out here in California, over 20 years. And he's now living up in the desert, and I'm trying to make our wires work here. I think we might have Jeff on now. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? What can you share to encourage and edify the listeners, Jeff?
Well, I can share with you one thing I know that is absolutely and completely true, and that is Jesus Christ is still on the throne.
Amen.
I was kind of surprised by the news that that Trump got the COVID-19, but not only him, but his wife also.
Yeah, I have to say, Jeff, about his wife is I've been watching the coverage, and of course we don't know how much is accurate, but they say his fever's down, thank God. But the thing is, I haven't heard them talking about her and how she's doing with it. Of course, we want to hear how he's doing, but have you heard anything about how she's doing as well?
No, I haven't. They'll let us know, and I guess when the time is appropriate.
Yeah.
I was also, pleasantly surprised by Joe Biden's campaign stepping back on their negative advertising.
Oh, that was great. I was really, really happy to hear that. That was very classy. And also, he told everyone to pray for Trump. So. There's good coming out of it, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And in your own life, you look in your own life and you see the things that in your own life that need to be a little garden tending. You were talking about the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, gardens aren't gardens because they just appear that way. The garden has to be tended. And that means sometimes you got to do the weeding, sometimes you got to do the watering, sometimes you got to do the clipping. You know, all the jobs that come up in the gardening are very important. Otherwise, the garden does not continue to survive.
Yeah, it's funny you would say that, Jeff, because I was reading this morning Isaiah 5 about the vineyard, and it said they hadn't tended the garden, and it said when they went to gather the grapes, they were just like weeds and thorns. And then I was also reading earlier in Matthew this morning about it said there was a vineyard and he leased out the vineyard. And then when he sent his servants and his son to check on it, they beat him up and killed him. And then I thought about the parable of the sower, how it says some of the seeds are choked by weeds and the birds snatch the seeds and carry them away. And some are sown by rocks, but only one out of the four seeds was fruitful. So it's a really good point you're making about tending the garden and, you know, he cuts those branches. John 15 says he cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit and prunes them. And so we've been going through a lot of tough times, but yet there's some pruning that the Lord's doing. You know, there's some good that's coming out of even the bad. Romans 8 says I put down some of the conspiracy theories today, but one conspiracy theory I believe in, and it's the one I really stand for, is Romans 8:28, which said God is conspiring to work good and bring good out of the bad for those of us who love him.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So anybody out there who doesn't get involved in gardening, you know, now's a good time to start.
Yeah. Well, in World War II, they had their victory gardens. And speaking of victory gardens, we have Josie, who escaped the Nazis and ran from the Nazis, a little girl in in England, and she has a victory garden now in her back apartment. I got to see it. Her neighbor, Stephanie, who's part of Eternal Grace, got a great garden going. Thanks for coming on, Jeff. You can hang on if you want. I'm going to go to Josie now on line two. Josie has a big birthday coming up, I think, on the 24th, and she's been a chaplain at L.A. County Jail, and we're so grateful she's a part of Eternal Grace. Josie, welcome. You're live on the air now.
Richard Rossi, telling it like it is.
Did I tell it like it is enough, Josie?
Well, yeah, you name names, and you're very brave.
Thank you.
Of course, you'll get a lot of flack for it, because whenever we're honest, we seem to upset people.
Well,
and
you know, you know our friend Summer that lives over in France?
Yes.
Well, she's been sending me some beautiful prayers praying for us.
I saw one of them.
Well, one of the scriptures she gave to me, she said, this is a scripture I have for you, she gave me a while back, was about Joshua being courageous. And she said, Richard, you always have been courageous. And it says to be courageous and possess the land. And she says, we can't do anything for God unless we're courageous and we stand up as a man or woman with courage, you know?
Mm. Well, I'm kind of worn out from being courageous.
Yeah, you've been so courageous. They're hammering on you, Josie, that some of the people have really been putting you down and everything. But it just shows that it's their problem, that they're off because of the people that do that. There's something wrong with them.
I'm worn out from the heat. I'm worn out from this pain I've been going through. I'm worn out with politics. I'm worn out with lying and hypocrisy. I'm just worn out.
Yes. So
and
you
I'm
want to say, beam me
up.
You're
out.
Ready to say enough is enough. Beam me up, Scotty, huh?
Well, stop the world. I want to get off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's your victory garden doing?
Well, actually, Stephanie came and cut some of it down the other day. But she left it at the bottom of the steps, and poor Dante is scared to go down there now. He's so brave at attacking other dogs, but when there's something he doesn't recognize, he's kind of freaked out.
Mm.
Anyway,
well,
she harvested some tomatoes and basil leaves that she's going to make a spaghetti sauce.
Oh, that's going to be great. There's nothing like fresh tomatoes and basil leaves and a spaghetti sauce. You can even make tomato sandwiches with those fresh tomatoes.
Oh, yes. I used to do that when I was a kid, and we used to put sugar on the tomatoes.
Oh, that's good. Well, in the South, when we lived in the South, they would put sugar on the vegetables. It was really good. It was kind of a way they'd cook them sweeter.
Yeah.
Well,
it's amazing I lasted this long with all those healthy things that we did not eat in England.
Well, there's
a lot of people
that exercise more than you and do all the health things, and you've outlived them all.
I know. I used to say to the deputies in the jail when they're working out, you know, I grew up on bread and dripping. Dripping is the meat. It's the juice that comes off like roast beef, and
yeah.
It's partially fat and partially gravy. And we used to have bread and dripping all the time because we were rationed.
Mm. I think I hear Dante amening in the background.
You know, he's driving me crazy. He has knocked a lot of his kibble out of his dish on the floor. And I will not put any more kibble in his dish until he eats that on the floor. And he's driving me crazy. Go lie down.
Dante is a miracle dog. He was hit by a truck, and the Lord resurrected him.
He did. Yeah.
Did you see I found a girlfriend for Dante?
I did. What a cutie.
Bella is so cute.
I know, but who
knows?
And
they're both Yorkie Terriers.
Yeah, but who knows whether he'd love her or attack her. He's a Yorkshire terrorist.
Well, he said he's a Yorkshire terrorist, all right?
Yes.
Or terror. Well, why don't you pray for our listeners, anything on your heart to pray for them, and then I'll go back to Jeff, and Jeff can close us out in prayer.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just lift up everybody that's listening to this program, and maybe some people are more worn out than I am because I'm still standing on faith in Psalm 91. But
yes.
I just ask, Lord, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, or spiritual needs that people have, that you supply them as you promised you would. And I'm going to ask again, would you please send some rain and help the firemen out? And I looked at the Japanese news that comes on before the European news and the BBC news, and almost every city across the world had rain, except California.
Mm-hmm.
And we need rain desperately. Send some from the East Coast to the West Coast. And Lord, just take care of all of your people and let them see the truth and not be led astray by false videos, by false confessions, by lies. And just, Lord, wake up your people. And I thank you for your protection, for your angels that have charge over. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josie.
Okay.
Thank you, Josie. And Jeff's on line one. Maybe we'll go back to Jeff and you can close. Or Jeff, can you close us out in prayer?
I think Jeff's playing his guitar there.
Hi, Jeff.
Am I still on the line?
Yep. Are you? You're live now. Would you be able to close us out in prayer and pray for everyone listening?
Yeah. Dear Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your goodness and your kindness and your blessings. I thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us and you have prepared the way for us so that we can have the confidence to step out and during the times of necessity, and we can go and we can minister to others as you have given us the command to do and the mercy and the grace to do. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, all of you, for listening. I think that now that we've finished Revelation, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure I think the direction we're going to go with the teaching here on the online services is because Revelation, the point of it is a deeper revelation and communion with Jesus, I think the next study we'll do in the Word will be on that subject, communion with God, a deeper intimacy with Jesus, learning to hear the Lord's voice, prayer, how to be more led of the Spirit, how to be closer and know Him, and to be closer and closer to Jesus, because that's the whole point of Revelation, is a deeper revelation and closeness with Him. So I think we'll talk about how do you have more of that communion, so it's not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. How do you hear His voice? How do you see things by the Spirit? And have that deep communion with Him. So I think that'll probably be the next direction of teaching we'll go in. I'm probably 80% sure of that, you know, that's what I'm sensing, but I think that's probably the direction we'll go in next, which will kind of build on what we learned was the theme and point of the book of Revelation, which is that we might have a deeper revelation and closeness with Him. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Go with God and be blessed and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you for tuning in. This link is now good in perpetuity, so share it with your friends. They can listen to the replay anytime.